Please take your Bibles and let us stand as we turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. This is the word of the Lord. Are you ever tempted to think that the sinful hold of darkness over the lives of men is just too strong for you to be able to do anything at all about it? Does it look like sin is winning and Christians are losing battle after battle as we try to shine as lights in a world that is dark because of sin? Paul tells you, don't give up. Do not give in to such an attitude, but instead walk or live in the light. And he reminds us of several results that we can expect as we as Christians walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he starts out by reminding you and me that at one time, you were darkness. Darkness was in you. Not only were you in darkness, not only were you like a person who was living in a cave deep underground where there is total darkness. Anybody ever been caving like that before? It's kind of a scary experience. I had an opportunity with the Boy Scouts one time to visit Carlsbad Caverns. And one of the things they do is they want you to experience total darkness. So they get you down there in the middle of this cavern, and then they turn off all the electric lights that they've got. And I can guarantee you that even after a minute or two of your eyes attempting to adjust, you can't see a thing. There is darkness all around you. That's bad enough. But Paul says not only were you in darkness, but you were once darkness. That is, darkness was in you. Not only were you in it, but darkness was in you. You were not just surrounded by sin. You were yourself a sinner. By nature, you were a person who was not only affected by sin, not only affected by darkness, but you were characterized by sin and by darkness. And the characteristics of such darkness we know from the Word of God, as the Apostle Paul tells us elsewhere. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so what Paul says to the Corinthian Christians is that they were in darkness, but now the light of the gospel has shined in their hearts, and God, by that light, has given them the knowledge of Himself through Christ. That when you look at the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, illuminated by the light of God, you see who God is. takes the light of God to open the blind eyes of a sinner so that he can see the Lord Jesus Christ and turn to him for salvation. Because apart from that light, all men are like the man born blind in the gospel according to John. No matter how hard he tried, he could not see. But once the Lord Jesus Christ opened his eyes, he could testify, at least at the very beginning of his new experience of being able to see, once I was blind, but now I see. He didn't know much else other than that. And often that's the way it is with young Christians. That's maybe the only thing that you can say. Once I was in sin, but now I've been set free. Once I was blind, now I can see through Christ. The light has set you free from sin. Apart from Christ, you were depraved. You were living in depravity. That's not a pleasant picture, but that's what God says about us, all of us. Acts chapter 26, talking about Christ commanding the Apostle Paul to preach the gospel to the Gentiles for this purpose, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith. And despondency is another characteristic of those that live in darkness. In Isaiah chapter 9, the passage that we read on Christmas Day this past year, the passage that deals with the birth of this child who would grow up to be the emperor, the king, the ruler, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That chapter begins with despondency. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles. It starts out with this darkness. But then it says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelled in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. And so God is always presented in Scripture as coming to people who dwell in darkness, who are darkness, and God shines the light of the glory of Jesus Christ upon us. Now you are light in the Lord. You have passed over from one kingdom to another. You've passed over from the kingdom of Satan and you've been taken to the kingdom of God. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, Paul tells the Colossians, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. God has taken us out of this false kingdom of darkness that is ruled over by Satan. God has plucked us up in Christ, and He has brought us over here, and He has put us in the kingdom of Christ, the Son whom He loves, a kingdom characterized by light, by Christ. And therefore, you and I are to bear fruit in keeping with our transformation. Once you lived in darkness, once you bore fruit of darkness, now you have been redeemed. Now you are to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that fruit is just simply mentioned here as being all goodness, as opposed to what he said at the end of chapter 4, malice. Righteousness, the joy of walking in a right relationship with God through Christ. And truth, or integrity, reliability, as opposed to all sham and falsehood and lies and speaking of error. Now, there are other fruit of the Spirit, obviously. But Paul is concerned here to make a contrast between the darkness and the light and the things that are fitting with that contrast. And so the point is basically this. Christian, live a consistent Christian life. One where your life matches your testimony. Don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. Walk as children of light. If you do, guess what? You find out what pleases God. You're commanded to live as a child of God. It's not an option for a Christian. It's a direct command from the Lord. Live a life that corresponds to the testimony of faith that you have in Jesus. Live like that, he says. And as you begin to do that, you will see a result in your life, and that result is you will be able to see in your own experience that God is pleased with your Christian obedience. Paul uses the term here, prove. You'll be able to prove. And it's a word that means to approve by means of testing and examination. The idea is simply this, that as you obey the Scriptures, as you live a godly life that is in keeping with your Christian testimony, you will begin to see in your own life, by your own experience, what things are acceptable and pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. You will discover what God commands is also what He approves of and what pleases Him. You'll be able to find that out. You'll find the blessings of the promises of God revealed in your life in that way. And as a result of bearing a testimony that is in keeping with your walk and a walk that is in keeping with your testimony, there will be an effect, or there should be an effect, in the world around you in both a positive and a negative way. If you live like a Christian, by doing so, you will expose the fruitless deeds of darkness. You see, there's going to be this negative effect. You will have no fellowship with the deeds of darkness yourself. Things like that that you've left behind in your conversion and by your conversion. These works or these deeds of darkness are unfruitful. In spite of the claims of many sinners as to the power of evil, the works that are produced by those that are apart from God are truly unfruitful. There are all kinds of scriptural images I'm thinking about. Clouds without rain. You know what it's like sometimes when we really need rain. You've got to have rain because you've got to have the crops to grow. You've got to have grass for your cattle. You've got to have this. You've got to have that. And the rain has not come, and all of a sudden on the horizon, there's this beautiful cloud, and it looks like it's dark underneath, and it's going to break forth and rain, and it doesn't. Trees uprooted by the wind that never bear fruits, another type of illustration given to us in the Word of God. Unfruitful. Unfruitful. You see, in the end, the trade-off for what appears to be a life of apparent power and wealth is the loss of your immortal soul for a few scant years of what men term pleasure. And that's no trade-off at all. And if you really talk to the folks that have the wealth and the power in this world and are apart from Christ, what you will discover is that along with those things go great unhappiness, and the Bible says damnation. That's no trade. Instead of having fellowship with such deeds, Paul says, you as a Christian are to expose them. You see, all compromise with sin is out, according to the Word of God. You cannot, in your own life and in your family or whatever it happens to be, your ministry or anything like that, you cannot have a compromise with sin where you say, okay, over here I'm going to obey God, but I've got this little area over here that I want to toy with. I want to toy with adultery. I want to toy with drugs. I want to toy with this. Doesn't work that way. Works of darkness done in secret by those who are bound in darkness and in sin are unfruitful, and they're to be exposed. Now, there are lots of folks in our world today that will tell you that if something's done in secret, nobody's being hurt. I'm sure you've heard that argument. The argument basically is, if it's done by consenting adults in the privacy of their own home, who should care? God does. God does. And what God basically says is, even these deeds done in secret by sinners are to be reproved and exposed for what they are, works of spiritual darkness. And therefore, you as a Christian may not ever join in approval of deeds done by unbelievers in this way, by your non-opposition to them. Instead, you're commanded to expose them. Their works of shame. It's shameful even to mention them. Now, when Paul says that, does he mean then that specific sins are never to be singled out and preached against? No. He's already done that himself in verses 3 through 6. He's talked about uncleanness and fornication and covetousness. And he said such things ought never to even be mentioned among you because you're God's saints. What he's getting at is, don't dwell on them in lurid detail when they're being denounced and exposed. Let me just give you one example of this. Many years ago, back in the middle 1970s, I attended a youth rally with a bunch of young people that I was working with when I was in seminary. And we had a big name evangelist come to town, and he had gotten the a local arena of some kind. It seems like it might have been a football field or it might have been some other stadium or something. Anyway, there were seats all around. And he was going to tell us the gospel. And he spent 55 minutes out of his hour talking about what a marvelous sinner he was in the past. And he went into great detail about all of the drug experience. He went into great detail about all of the fornication that he was involved in. He went into all kinds of detail about his rebellion against God. And it's almost as though at the very end of it, he thought for himself, and then I became a Christian. I think that's what Paul's getting at here. I think what Paul is getting at is, don't just tack on the end how Jesus saved you from all of these sins, because it sounds like you're really relishing them and dwelling upon them. They should never become the focus of the way in which you're talking, but rather you are to expose them in a positive way. These are sins against God. Don't do them. Doesn't matter who's done them. Don't do them. You see, if you live by the light, your life is supposed to be a shining example that will show off in the darkness that other kind of light by way of contrast. Live a life of obedience to the Scriptures, and your godly example ought to be in marked contrast to the deeds of all of those around you who are not believers. The light of your life and the light of your testimony ought to shine on and expose the deeds of darkness for what they truly are. So don't ever fall, young people, don't ever fall for the excuse, everybody does it. Remember, we talked about this last week, that when I and another fellow pastor, when we were in Virginia, were opposing the sex education program in the school system there, which went under the euphemism of family life education, which basically was telling kids how to have sex and be saved, that we were basically confronted by the administration of the school system, who said to us, everybody does it. No. One person, do not do it. You will draw attention to the truth of the Word of God and show by contrast the utter sinfulness of sin. Your attitude toward a particular sin will call attention to its sinfulness, and you will stand for the light. So, your actions, not only of not joining in sin with others, but also of telling them why you're not going to join with them, will accomplish this. And your hope and your prayer and your desire ought to be that your testimony and your godly life may lead others to the light of God through Christ. Your actions will not be in vain. Paul is saying here that as you stand for the truth, you will shine as a light, and the light of the truth of God and of the gospel will shine upon sinners who are described metaphorically by Paul here as being asleep in their sin, asleep at the switch. You know where that expression comes from? Asleep at the switch? It comes from railroading. The switch was a dead man's switch. You had this particular handle that had to be gripped in order for the train to go. And the idea behind the whole thing was if the engineer died at the switch, his hand would release, the handle would pop open, and the brakes would lock and the train would stop. It's a great idea. Until people got the idea, you can wrap a leather belt around this thing, and then you can go to sleep. Because after all, you're on the tracks, right? What could go wrong? You sleep at the switch. Light is shined upon those who are dead in sin. And they will be called to arise from their sleep of sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light, and be saved by Him. And so that's what you're doing. You're shining that light. You, by living a godly Christian life, are spreading the light of God to the lives of those who are asleep in their sinful lifestyles. And your prayer and your hope and your desire as you live a godly life ought to be that they will be aroused by the working of the Holy Spirit to respond to the Son of God as you have responded, to be awakened just like a person's awakened in the morning when the sunlight comes streaming through the window and hits you in the face. That's what you're praying for, is that the light of your testimony, the light of your Christian life, will just hit that guy spiritually in the eyes, and he'll shake himself and he'll wake up and realize his need for Christ, because he's seen you living for Christ. The hope is that that will occur as you, Christian, walk in the light and show by contrast the lives of those who live in shame and hopelessness and in darkness, who are full of darkness. And they'll see there's a difference, and they'll wake from the dead that Christ may give them life. Let's pray. Father, what a marvelous call this is to us. A call to not only believe the gospel message ourselves, but to live by it. To put it into practice. To be Christians, not only in word, but also especially in deed as well. That our words and our deeds match one another. That no one would say, well, he says one thing and does something else. Father, bless us to live these types of lives that would shine the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ clearly. And by so doing, would expose the unfruitful deeds of darkness of those all around us who are still in their sin. That they may awaken from their sinful slumber, turn to Christ, and be saved. Bless us to have that in mind as we live our lives for Christ this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.